make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for this this auditorium class, Lord, and I just pray that you would get me out of the way, Lord. Help me to teach what you want me to teach, what you laid on my heart. Lord, just be with every class, Lord, and Lord, I just pray for every heart and ear to be open, Lord, to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this passage of scripture here, it hits home when you put your own name in those verses. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Ain't you glad that he took that upon himself? You know, the Bible says here that he was buried among those that the transgressors, you know, he was numbered with the transgressors, but ain't you glad he was with no sin? But he became sin for us. The Bible says in verse number 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. You know why? Not because he didn't love his son, but because his son became sin for us. It pleased the Lord to bruise. In other words, it pleases the Lord to bruise sin. He hates sin. And so it cost Jesus his life for our freedom in him. It cost Jesus his life. All he went through the beatings and everything, we can't even imagine. That one man, Jesus, who gave us freedom in Christ, to where we can have freedom in Christ. And yet, the Revolutionary War for our freedoms in America, that took a lot of lives for our freedoms here in America. And yet, that could be taken from us. But one man died for the freedom that we can have in God, in Christ. The freedom to live victoriously. The freedom to pray without building an altar and sacrificing a lamb or a calf. The freedom to pray as we are, but not to stay as we are. And we don't have to lose that freedom. It's up to us whether we lose the joy in the Lord or not. But praise the Lord, we cannot lose our salvation. Amen. So the spiritual freedom in Christ, freedom in the Bible represents liberation, which means freedom from sin, fear, and spiritual bondage, and empowers believers to live purposefully in Christ while practicing love and obedience. The freedom to practice love and obedience in Christ. You know, if it wouldn't be for Jesus Christ, all of that would be in vain. That is why whenever before we were saved, the good that we tried to do was of no value, I shouldn't say of no value, because it still affects other people around us. But as far as God is concerned, you know, how can you serve the Lord if you're not one of His? How can you serve the Lord if you're not one of His? It's just like my brother in Missouri can buy a horse, and that horse can be a good horse for him. It doesn't do any good until that horse becomes mine. We don't become any good for Christ until we become God's child. That's the only way that we can become good something good for Christ's service. And yet the Bible says that our good works are as filthy rags. That is as far as salvation is concerned. You know, that doesn't mean that we should just forget about doing good, forget about good works. But as far as salvation is concerned, that has, we can't do anything. Our best work is not pure enough for heaven. Our best deed, our best action, that's why Jesus' blood had to be shed. So John 8, verse number 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so he made us free, but we still have something to do, and that is to choose him to get saved. There's a lot of people that want to do something to be able to get to heaven, but they're doing the wrong thing by doing good works to try to get themselves into heaven. The work has already been done. What we need to do is accept the work that has been done on Calvary, or we will not be able to go to heaven. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verses 1 through 2, if you want to turn there. Romans 8, verses 1 through 2. Let's go ahead and turn there myself. Romans 8, verses 1 through 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I thought I just checked my eyes, and now my glasses aren't working. Or my eyes ain't working. I'll blame it on my glasses. That's easier, you know. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know, I was having a talk with my dad and here a couple of years ago, and he said he's afraid that if you believe in security of salvation, once saved, always saved, that you would just go and serve your flesh and just do whatever you want. Doesn't the Bible say that God will create us, put a new heart in us? He will change us. And, you know, yet I have to wonder why there's so much, you know, you hear it all over the news where this Amish guy and that Amish guy got arrested for horrible things. You wonder why they get into that stuff if they depend on their good works for their salvation in the first place. And they're afraid of the belief in security of salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But then it goes on to say, who walk not after the flesh. Hello. You know, that is actually right there, putting that in the dust. You know, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are supposed to, when we get saved, we are supposed to not walk after the flesh anymore, but walk after the Spirit. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, verse number 3, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's something that we need to do, not to keep our salvation, but to keep our joy in the Lord. You know, David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, he didn't lose his salvation. David, when he killed Uriah, the Hittite, in the army, he didn't lose his salvation. He lost his joy in the Lord. Consequences still had to happen because that child from Bathsheba, God took that child. Consequences still had to happen. David did not lose his salvation. He lost his joy until he repented. And that's exactly what will happen here in our lives. We will lose our peace and our joy until we repent. There's something that we have to do to keep our salvation? No, to keep our joy. To keep our joy. And then the relationship to be able to connect with the Lord. I got to move on or I won't get done. But yeah, that's just good. The Bible verses in there are just good of how we are called. We're called to not live in the flesh. We're called to live in the Spirit. We're called to live in newness of life. That's what we're called to do when we get saved. Let's turn to Galatians chapter number 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 1. I was concerned this week. I thought I was losing my voice. And I think I am a little bit, but it makes, fortunately, I guess there's a blessing with it because it makes my voice a little deeper. But yeah, where is Galatians? Man, sorry, I should have marked it. There we go. Chapter number 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, Christ made a way for us. God made a way through his Son for us to be free. To be free. To sin? No. To live for him. To tell others about him. God made a way for us to do that, and we can do that. Why shouldn't we? If we got shared the gospel, why shouldn't we want to share it with somebody else? Or just let them go to a devil's hell that wasn't even created for us, for mankind. I am thankful for the freedom we can have in Christ. Amen. The freedom that we can have in Christ. The freedom that Christ has given us, such as to walk with him, not to have fear, but to live victoriously. To not be slaves to sin. I'm very thankful that slavery, that Abraham Lincoln ended slavery. That was one good thing that happens. But you know what? The slavery to sin can also be ended in our lives if we accept Jesus Christ and I know many of us in here, maybe everybody in here has at one or the other time accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. But now to walk in newness of life, live it. Live as though to our, you know, to testify. Live so that people can see that we are saved. And I can't help but saying we, because I'm right in that, you know. We need to live. I need to live to where people can see that there's something about him. There's this courageous movie that I really like to watch, and they're discussing. The firefighters are discussing among themselves there about this one man. This one man believed in God. He believed that there is a heaven and there is a hell. He believed that you have to be saved. He was a believer. There was another guy that said, when I go to the ground, that's where I'll stay. Nothing more. And they were having that conversation. And this guy said, you can't deny it. This man, that man there who believes something, who believes in God, he's got something to himself. He's got something that is worth having. They see it. They see it. He's got something that is worth having, that is worth living for. You know what? That was worth dying for. Christ died so that we can have that. We have the freedom to come to him boldly through the throne of grace. And like I mentioned before, we don't need to build a physical altar and sacrifice a lamb to pray to God. We can freely come to him in prayer just as we are, not to stay as we are, but to grow in Christ. Now, as we look at the freedom in Christ, let's also look at the freedom in America through the sacrifices of lives of many men and women. There's a lot of men and women who suffered death, who died and suffered, not always died. But you know, there's something like a survivor's guilt. Late brother Ron Allen, who was here, he served, and From what I understand, he dealt with survivor's guilt. That is where you go into battle and you have this guy, you get to know this guy and that guy on the left and right of you, and they get killed in battle. Probably nearly happens to you. You hear these shots going out, but it's never you. You might get wounded, but you never get killed. Now the battle is over and you come home. Your wife, your kids, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your friends are glad to see you. But then you have to think, that guy, that guy, that guy, and that guy, and that guy that I served alongside with did not come home. And those relatives of them were not able to see their loved one coming home. Now, Jesus died in the battle for us. But praise God that he resurrected to life and he's at home. He's at home. And in the meantime, we can have him at home right here in our hearts too. We can have him in our hearts. There was many a person who lost a husband. The husband didn't come home. There was many a person who lost a daddy who didn't come home. There was many a person who lost a brother. There was many a person who lost a friend. There was many a person who lost a mom and a daughter and a sister and a friend who did not come home from the battle. And now we were told that, you know, because that was long enough ago that nobody's alive yet from the Revolutionary War. But we can read history and we can see everything that took place back in the day of George Washington. A Baptist preacher by the name of John Gannot baptized George Washington. He didn't want to make too much of a big deal about it, but I'm glad that it got put in the history books. He got baptized by a Baptist pastor by the name of John Gannot. And therefore, I can say our nation was founded by Christian principles. Our nation was founded by Christian principles. Did we keep it? It's sad to see how it's going today. But you know what? We don't have to lose that freedom in Christ. They can beat us up. They can take our life, but it's up to us whether we will let that freedom go in Christ. It's up to us whether we will dwell on what Christ did for us, no matter what happens, no matter what man can do to our bodies. There were families at home who had to receive the death notice of a loved one. I believe to those people, the American flag meant more to them than before. There's people that want to disrespect the American flag, want to burn it and all that. There's people that do horrible things, not realizing how many lives were given so that we can have our freedom. Pastor just had those different flags, three different flags up here Sunday night. And I learned a lot from that. That gave me a lot, like the don't tread on me. I never knew what that meant. That was some good stuff. I really enjoyed that service, and I'm sure you did too. But it was like I saw a piece of history that I never saw before, and I am wanting to learn more, even more. But before, for those who want to, I'm going ahead of myself. There are people today who experience the loss of a loved one. For those who want to disrespect the American flag, I would want to ask them to talk with a widow who lost a husband in battle. There are still those who are serving in the army who get killed one way or the other. There are still those soldiers who come to a doorstep of a wife whose husband was killed in battle with a folded flag. I saw a video of that here recently. Soldier coming to a door. And the lady comes to the door, opens the door. "Hello, how may I help you?" And sees that flag. And she's like, "No, no." She's like, "No, you're at the wrong door. You're at the wrong house." And she cries, you know. And it ends up where, you know, that's all she's got. That's all she's got now is the memory of him, but he wasn't at home. She, you know, it wasn't like, I mean, it's always something bad, you know, a bad experience to lose a loved one. But it wasn't something where her husband was sick and kind of expecting it, kind of preparing yourself. But no matter, I've already heard, I never experienced this myself, but I've already heard that you cannot prepare yourself enough. No matter how sick the person is, when that sick person passes away, it's still something to go through. It's still hard to go through. And I know many of you can testify. Pastor Robert Ross, you know, he died with something wrong with him. But it's still hard. It was still hard for the family. I know it was. Pastor already talked about it. It was still hard to go through that. And here these ladies are losing their husband in the battle. And they have to have this soldier come to this door to break the news to them that their loved one got killed. And they got to go on with life. And now we want to disrespect the American flag. I'm sorry. I know that the American flag is not our salvation. I know it's not. Jesus Christ and what he did is our salvation. But there is still a price that got paid for our freedoms in America. And why do people want to devalue that? Why do people want to destroy that and get rid of it and forget about it? It's because they are not taught history in school anymore. If they are taught history, it's history that has been twisted for their liking to make it look like it's not been what it has been. There's a lot that can be said about the American flag. For those who want to respect the Bible, do disrespect the Bible. I'd like to challenge them to talk to people who got saved out of a wicked and selfish lifestyle. People who want to burn the Bible, people who want to devalue it, say, "No, that's not the right Bible." And yet it is. Amen. You know, there is something that we can look at that American flag and we can appreciate it. But let's not put the American flag on top of this Bible. Let's still watch ourselves that we don't do that. Because there was a price paid so that we can have the Word of God. Disrespecting the Bible. I'm not devaluating. I got it in my house. I don't oppose it. Do we read it? I believe in that way we can be disrespecting the Bible by not taking priority, true priority. You know what? I'm guilty of that. Not always taking true priority of that. Gotta watch ourselves. If I would wait to teach this until I got everything perfect in this area, I would probably never get to preach it. And that doesn't give me any slack to not care, but it means we can always grow. We can always grow. There's a story of a man who operated a drawbridge. I don't know if some of you heard this already or not, but a drawbridge is a bridge that goes over a river where you draw the bridge up, you lift it up, and it takes a lot of gears and stuff to to get that bridge to go up. It's a heavy, heavy bridge. There was this guy that worked at a drawbridge who would lift the bridge up to let a ship go through and put it back down to let the train go through. This one day, Daddy went home from his job and probably to eat lunch or something, and his five-year-old son goes, "Daddy, can I go to work with you today?" Daddy says, "Yes, son, you can go to work with me. Come on, let's go." And they go, they're talking and they're having fun just like father and son should have. And they're going, skipping, the little boy is skipping along, not thinking that he won't be back. He won't be coming back with his dad. And they go up to the drawbridge area, and the dad was showing him all the levers and stuff. They went down to the gears. The dad was showing him the gears and stuff. All of a sudden, in the distance, he hears a train. And the bridge was up because he had let a ship go through. They would only let it down when a train was coming. And so he's like, you know, he has to run up there to get it down because he only has minutes. And he's like, "Son, you stay right here. Do not get on those gears." And you know, they say the easiest way to get something done is either to do it yourself or forbid your kids to do it. And it'll get done one way or the other. But he was there and he said, "Son, do not go into those gears. You got to stay back here. Okay, is that understood?" "Yes, yes, sir." And all that. He runs up the case of stairs. I don't know just how far up it was, but enough that it took some time to get up there. And he gets ready to push the lever to let that bridge down. And he looks down to make sure his son is out of the way. And to his horror, his son was climbing around on the gears. "Oh, just run down there and get him off." It would have taken him 11 minutes to run down there, get his son off, and get back up here to lower the bridge so the train can get through. The train was 3 minutes close. That was the problem. And it was a passenger train. And now he had the choice to make to sacrifice his son and save all those people, hundreds of people on the train, or just let those people perish into the water for his son. And he met a decision that no father should ever have to make in his life. But he made that decision to push that lever, and the gears creaked and groaned. He shut his eyes and he pushed that lever, the gears creaking and groaning as the drawbridge went down and set in place for the train. And here comes the train across the bridge, and he looks into the windows of the train. And of course, the people were having a good time, were laughing and carrying on. You know, they were together with friends, riding, traveling together, having a party, whatever they were going on. He put his face down in his arms and he bawled. And he said, "If only those people knew the sacrifice that I made so that they can live." You know, I'm afraid God is looking down on us and thinking, "If only those people would know the sacrifice that I went through in order so that they can be saved. I gave my son to die on the cross, on a cruel cross. And yet, some of them, a lot of them, never accept that. Some of them accept that, but go on and live their lives and don't ever even thank me for it. And then there's these few. Yeah, they can never come to realization the depth of what I went through, you know, God talking, what he went through for his son to die on the cross. But they appreciate it to the best they can. They live like it. They have a relationship with me, is what God is might be saying. But then Hot breaks his heart. You know, what if this daddy would have gone and met up with those people on the train and said, "Hey, I sacrificed my son for you all." They wouldn't believe it. You're just making a big story. Would he have to bring them over to the gears and show them the blood on the gears? Oh, you just threw some animal in there to try to make it look like it. You know, he probably couldn't convince them all, but he would at least try. Are we trying to get people to see what God did for us? I couldn't help but compare that to how God must be crying out to his children. Because us as his children, saved by grace, do we live it in appreciation, in recognition to what Christ has done for us? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for this Sunday school hour. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be more appreciative of what you have done, Lord, and to not take it for granted, to not take it lightly, but to take advantage of it and to proclaim and to own it and to receive and, Lord, to live it. And, Lord, I just pray that you would help each and every one of us to live that kind of life, Lord. And, Lord, thank you for everyone that's here, Lord. Thank you for all the classes, Lord. I just pray that you would help them as they finish up, Lord, and just bless us today, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the next service, Lord, that you would be with Pastor as he preaches, Lord, and empower him with your Holy Spirit and power, Lord. Just be with us the rest of the day, Lord. I can't help but also pray there's somebody on this property who does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that they would get that settled today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.